And good morning and welcome to another Tom and Shane video. Happy to have you along with us today. I'm Tom. I'm in Bozeman, Montana. Shane's in Kamloops, Canada. So we are international, as always. And our topic today, boy, the markets have gone nuts. Are we headed toward another market crash? What say you, Shane? Are we headed for a market crash, or is this going to be a replay of 2007 and 2008, or is it much ado about nothing?
Oh, no, that's a lot to do about everything. The bottom line is, by summer, earliest May, the U.S. will find itself in a recession of major consequences, and if not a bad recession, and very possibly heading to a depression predicated on how the financial markets respond to it. And in particular, the baby boomers, our generation, they're still holding that $34 trillion in assets, principally real estate, but a lot of it in stocks and certainly in bonds. We already know the bond market is collapsing. It's been overpriced for a decade, meaning people have been having to pay high prices to purchase the bonds and not getting much of an interest rate from them. Now they're not buying them at all. Stocks are vastly overvalued, trading anywhere from 30 to 50 times earnings. Most analysts, most advisors will tell you not to buy a stock that's over 16 times earnings. And that's been going on for a full decade. This has been a 10 to 12 year bullish market predicated on the Federal Reserve. And as you know, they've basically been in what's called quantum easing and aiding the banks because of the mortgage-backed security situation, you know, back from 2008. Now, they've acquired over $4 trillion of those mortgage-backed securities from your banks to save them. And at the same time, purchasing U.S. debt that your banks are required to participate in auctions all week long. Now, since May, I've been picking out the average of the auctions during the week of the different debt that's offered to fund your country. The situation has been dire. Since May and June of this year, less than a third of any offering by the Federal Reserve has resulted in only a third of it being acquired. I mean, a perfect example was a five-year note this on Tuesday, the 25th of this week, $140 billion offered as on a competitive bid, and 55 billion taken down. But the primary dealers, the 28 banks required to purchase, they bought eight billion of 137 billion. Indirect bidders were 37 billion. That includes foreign governments that maintain their position of seven billion, and as they expire they buy more. And then of course institutions and individual people. And direct bidders like banks, they bought more than the primary dealers, big fund managers and pension funds, $9 billion. So $54 billion of $137 billion, you've now reached the tipping point, and the market's reflecting it. One thing you'll hear from all these bobbleheads, if they tell you the truth, and that is that, you know, the market won't crash, it'll correct. Yeah, that's correct. It will correct, and that's exactly what it's doing. Dow Jones down, year to date now, just in 1 month, 5%. I mean, that's 60% it could go down if it does that 5% a month, right? I mean, the Standard & Poor's is down 7.5%. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that could be like an 80% drop. The NASDAQ, 12%, it's down in January. In January, we're still at the 27th. I mean, Monday's still a market day.
Yeah. We'll have to see what's going on here. So, well, a couple things from my perspective on this, I guess. One of the things is I'm wondering how much the COVID has to do with this worldwide. That's one thing. The other thing is that last year, our GDP rose 5.7% for the year. And why all of a sudden the dump when we were, you know, pretty prosperous, even with shutdowns and other things that were going on? You know, it seemed like people made money. There's never been a 20-year period where the S&P hasn't made 12%. So I really don't hear.
Hang on.
I don't really hear a whole lot of, you know, as you do, I watch the business channels. You know, I hear the talking heads, all these guys that are supposed to know money, talking about now's the time to buy when the market's down, you know, get in and, you know, get going. I understand what you're saying about the bonds. That is a concern because we've got to sell our debt because of the way we run our money. You know, we borrow and, you know, sell bonds to get that money back from folks. So yeah, the bond is a concern, but I don't hear it from the talking heads that, oh, bonds are, oh my God, you know, or we're in dire straits. I don't hear it.
Oh, well, you know, probably one of the most famous people is Rick Santelli, you know, back in 87 when the crash happened then because of commercial real estate during the Reagan era. And Japan's market was trading at 36,000. You know, it's now trading around 13. You know, the bottom line is that when you say that they like the S&P 500, you know, it shows an average of being up 14% every 20 years. That's because on average, every 20 years, it drops more than that. So, and it comes back. I mean, the market generally in March of 2009, you know, after the 2008 debacle, you know, the market was at 9,600, you know, it's at 34,000 now. Now, you know, I'm not a chartist, but I do watch charts. But the biggest thing that chartists will tell you is that the three swing and you're out. You know, this is now the fifth time in 6 months that the Dow 30 has approached 3,500 and gone by it, but never it hasn't moved ahead. It's fallen back below it. So a chartist will tell you that this is going to result in at least a 10 to 15% correction. Well, that's a big correction. Last Friday, the market came off for a couple of reasons, mostly because of the concern cited about the Fed and the fact that the Fed's going to raise interest has nothing to do with inflation. It has to do with getting people to buy debt, U.S. debt. I mean, if you look at the global bond market, I mean, the U.S., you know, 10-year note is at 1.8. So it's moving up on its own, even though the Fed rate's at 0.25. So, I mean, the market's saying, you know, I'm not going to buy this debt if you don't pay me at least 1.8%. So it's a no-mer. But to give you an idea how bad it is out there, Brazil is at 11.3 on raising money, paying 11.3%. Canada's 1.7, but Mexico's at 7. India's at 6.7%. New Zealand at 2. I mean, so it's not just sovereign debt in the United States. It's now a global pandemic with bond rates that people need to, you know, charge to get people to buy. And, you know, you're still looking at a real difficult problem when you're talking about personal loans, even in the United States with banking. You know, mm-hmm. The Fed rates 0.25. They'll tell you a bank loan is 3.55. Yeah, for their best customer. Okay, but if they're borrowing money from the Fed at 0.25 and lending it out at 3.5, that's just terrible. But the real truth is that if you dig deeper and you go to the credit services, if you have a 760 plus credit score, the average loan that you're going to be, or interest rate you're going to be charged is 9.3%. If you're at 720 to 759, people know these numbers now, so 13%. If you're at 680 to 719, 17%. If you're 640 or less on your credit score, you could be charged up to 22%. 22% for loan from a bank right now. So, lending rates, as I said, at 3.5% are for their best customers and corporate customers. This is not an ideal situation for an economy. Your GDP did jump last year, but they shut the whole thing down. So, I mean, when you open it up, that's going to occur. And then, of course, you have all these other issues on a global basis that countries are dealing with now, France and England in particular with their economies, but and China for sure. So, this is bad, Tom. If you have any stocks that are in the green and you've held them a long time, sell what you have to that you originally got in, and then keep what's a profit and be in cash. There's not going to be a huge jump and a run in the stock market. I can tell you that. If it is, it's only short covering, like I was saying about last Friday. The market was down. It resulted in margin calls on Monday that sold, and the shorts held back because there's always shorts in the market to support the market. Couldn't support it, so they backed off further till Tuesday. And then people thought, well, this is an opportunity to go long because, we covered our shorts and we'd sold out before, so we have all this cash. So they stepped in to support it. Didn't work. Wednesday, yesterday, it was a modest market, but the effort to see the market swing back up was reasonable. But I mean, like the Nasdaq was up 48 points yesterday. The Dow was up 357. But the Dow is a different animal because there's block trading, and again, we're dealing with companies that are holding vast amount of shares, I'm talking about numbers because we've talked about the capitalization of stocks now and how many billions of shares are issued on them.
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, Craig says 5.7 GDP. Let's go, Brandon. Well, as I've said 1,000,000,000 times, presidents have nothing to do with the markets and GDP or growth or anything else. So, if you want to give credit to the president, be my guest, but you're just making a big error. Up 4:43 this morning. Yeah, it was up pretty high. Shane is a sky is falling alarmist.
I'm not saying the sky is falling. I'm saying the market is. I've been through this five times. I first invested in 1972, and did really well as a result of it. Mm-hmm. But I did it at the bottom end of the market. How far down will this go? I could make a prediction. I wouldn't be surprised by anywhere from a 10 to 30% correction. Mm-hmm. The numbers are there. The market's telling you, which is a predictor of 6 months in the future. Yeah. It's not going to be very good. Microsoft had outstanding numbers yesterday after the close. And for the last 2 weeks, while this was all going on, all the talking heads are saying, well, we're going to get the numbers on the companies. It's earnings season. Microsoft comes out with great numbers and the stock tanks.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Please, I'm looking at numbers. I'm an old guy that's been, I've seen this rodeo five times. So, it's coming and it's not going to be pretty.
Yeah. Well, this whole COVID thing has just turned everything upside down, Shane. I mean, we're not in normal times. We're just not. So, what can I, whatever you're holding, is fluctuated all over the place in the last probably 3 months. It's been up, it's been down, it's been up, mm-hmm. it's been down, whatever. And now with the increased number of cases and all this, we've had more cases than we've ever had before, but we're not shutting down. The vaccine's not working against this Omicron thing. Schools are kind of at the mercy of school boards or whatever around the country. People are a little skittish, and I think that's part of what we're looking at, is that there's not a lot of confidence in it's things normally we can control. Things we can raise rates or lower rates or whatever and calm things down. But in this case, you know, the Fed's talking about raising rates to curb inflation. And I don't know if that's going to work or not.
Well, yeah, and I'd like to remind people in the history of Amazon, you know, there's one of this great stock that it's a good stock, but Walmart's better. It's cheaper. It's got bigger sales, more profitability than Amazon. It has stores, you know, brick and mortar stores, and it's got, you know, and it sells more product. It sells an equal number, not more, but an equal number of products than Amazon does. Yeah. But I want to remind people that Amazon, in three times since it's been around, has dropped 90%, 90%, three times.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it took Amazon close to 20 years before they were, you know, making any money. Profitable marginally. But, you know, Bezos convinced everyone this is the future. It's going to work. And because there's only 600 million shares out on it, nothing. He could keep track of all the shares. And so, you know, he put them in strong hands and had those people convinced, you know, that's how we will marginize the market by managing the float and eat up the anybody that shorts it will drive the price of the stock up by making them cover. There's another company that did that, Enron. We remember what happened to Enron.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there's a ton of people that are buying stuff from Alibaba for about a third of the price.
That's
right. You can get a motorcycle on Alibaba for $400. You know, and then they bring that stuff back and sell it on Amazon. Now you gotta, in order to get the best price from Alibaba, you gotta buy 100 or 200 lots. But still, you know, if you get a good product that you could buy for a couple of bucks and sell it for 19, that's a pretty good deal. And I think that's what a lot of people are doing.
Yeah, Alibaba is the equivalent of Amazon in China. Tom's right. And remember, the middle class now in China is 400 million. And, you know, they're trying to create the same internal cycle of growth that the U.S. did in the 50s and 60s, where, they created a consumer market. But it was internally. The interesting aspect about this is that Alibaba is at one thirteenth. I mean, at 1/10 the price.
Yeah.
They have more cash flow, more sales, half the staff. It is in China, but at the end of the day, you know, you're looking at a company that has a very massive float compared to Amazon, 2.6 billion. So if you reduced Alibaba by five, you know, to be a similar number of shares that Amazon has out, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Alibaba is actually trading in comparison to Amazon at $500, $600. Yeah. So, I mean, you've got to look at these numbers in that way. But again, you want to be in cash. There's no harm in that. And I'm telling you right now, the pros are all selling. Any movement upward in this market from buying is going to be short covering or day trading, and that's only an opportunity for you to sell, because this is not going to stall. It's not going to slow down. It's not going to weaken. It's only going to accelerate. And keep in mind, one of the other problems you have with the bond market is that the Fed is basically telling the world, oh, all this U.S. debt we've been buying up since 2008, you know, we have to lighten it up, because they're in a position now that, wow, how much can we actually buy where we don't collapse? We could collapse the whole thing. They don't want to do that. Yeah. The other problem they have, this isn't just bonds. It's not just stocks. It's also commodities. Mm. So the commodity and currency markets are fluctuating in a very bad way. You know, I always worry about the currencies. We should. The euro's at 111. The pound is holding in at 133, the U.S. dollar, but the markets around the world are chiefly looking at this and going, gee, it's uncanny that China hasn't moved off 6.3 yen. Well, there is no yen, as we said. It's all, you know, there's no physical currency in China except in rural areas. There's coinage. And then we've covered that. But then crypto, you know, let's talk about crypto briefly before we run out of time here. You know, Bitcoin's at 36,000. It's it's dropped over 50% from its high of 68. And year to date, I mean, this month, over the last year, it's down 22%, but in January, it's down 24%. Yeah. Now, do I think that's a good investment? Well, I said people, you know, I told people what for 2 years, sell it, right? I mean, but no one, you know, whatever. The problem that you have is the people that sold this are the people that need cash. And who are those in the last week? Banks, institutions, and even individuals. You know, unfortunately, we need to get a margin call in your account because you used Bitcoin at 65,000 to buy other things. You know, when they call you up and say, you need to write a check, you know, you end up selling your winners, which, you know, would be like Bitcoin because you bought it at 10, right?
Yeah, 10,000. Right. Well, Bruce also points out that Walmart, we were talking about them earlier, pays dividends. And
that's right.
So in addition to that, so if you could buy, if you are going to buy something, certainly make sure you buy something that pays a dividend.
Because
the dividend will be paid whether the stock goes up or down.
That's correct.
You're safe there. So, if they claim they're going to pay a dividend, then they're going to pay it. Now,
well, in the other markets, you know, like the futures markets, mm-hmm. selling puts or calls. You know, if you own a stock like Walmart, you sell a call because you think the stock's going to go up. So if it gets there, you sell a call for $7. It's trading at 200. So if it gets to 207, someone can buy your call to buy the stock from you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then a put is that you think it's going down. So you sell a $7 call and stock's at 200 and it drops to 193. The person can buy your mm-hmm. put. And then you sell it. But then if it goes lower, you're in cash, so you can buy it back cheaper. I mean, that's a quick explanation of that. Mm-hmm. But this futures market is dangerously overplayed. I mean, the contract's being bought on stocks right now because people don't want to buy stocks, right? So they buy puts and calls. Is excessive, and a lot of it's to the downside. A lot of people are buying puts because they think, you know, they want to protect the downside on the stocks. And, so we'll see what happens. But here we go. And oil was over $90 briefly today.
Yeah.
We have to mention
that. Yeah, I saw that too. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're looking at all these things advancing in a very difficult way. And one of the most important commodities that.
Let me read this thing first. So I got it up on the screen. Yeah. Slow down. Dividends are not always paid. If you want income, find a dividend stock. If you want growth and investment, not so much. Well, we don't. When we talk about growth, Craig, we're talking about long-term growth. We're not talking about, buy it on Monday and sell it on Friday and make a couple hundred grand. So, if you're going to be in stocks for the long term, dividend stocks are normally safe. They're established companies. They're well run normally. Not in every case, but certainly in the majority of cases. And that's why Warren Buffett goes in for well run companies with a future that pay a dividend. So there you are.
And another hint for everybody that I watched to give you some idea of how I oversee this is when you look at the food commodities, yes, we talk about wheat and yes, we talk about soybeans, of course, milk, coffee, so forth, orange juice. Mm-hmm. The one that's the most important, though, is corn. And the reason it is that for a sweetener, they use corn to get away from sugar. And so you watch corn. You see what corn's doing right now. Today it's down 2.25 to 6.24, but it's a great benchmark of where food prices are going because it's an 80% of the food we eat. Mm. It's a remarkable commodity, it's sort of like oil. You know, oil's in 80% of everything you walk through every day. I don't know how we get rid of it, right? But watch corn. I mean, all the others are important, beef and poultry and so forth. But corn's a good one just to check every morning and see what you're looking at. And a great place to go to see all this is called tradingeconomics.com. Mm-hmm. Lowercase, two words. Or one word, tradingeconomics.com. They have all the charts for you. They're fabulous. They've got all the currency, stocks, commodities, bonds, crypto now they've added. and so forth. So there you go. That's a great place.
And you can also find the inflation rate in Venezuela there as well.
That's right. That's so Tom. What is it today? You haven't checked it.
It's a couple thousand bucks.
Oh, yeah. But it's been like that for what, 4 years?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
How do you do that? I mean, I don't understand how a country, anyway. Yeah. Largest oil reserves in the world. Imagine.
There we go. Yeah. Hey, listen, if you like what you're hearing, hey, please subscribe. We need subscribers badly. Subscribe to us. Ring the notification bell. You'll always be notified of another broadcast we have. And we're here every Tuesday and every Thursday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time in the United States. If you're watching us outside the continental United States or wherever you happen to be liking us. Like us, leave a comment. Facebook puts a lot of stock in likes and comments, so that'll help us out as well to get to more people. Also, we're brought to you by StreamYard. We like StreamYard. It's easy to use. Even I can use it. I mean, you're watching right now, stuff going up and on the screen and going off the screen and whatever. And if you want to support us monetarily, there are some benefits to doing that, and there's a link in the description below, and you can read what those benefits are, and we'll be happy to share our knowledge with you on a variety of topics, so we hope that you'll do that. And, well, any final thoughts, Shane, as we wind down here?
I hate to say this, but you have to be cautious. Stand back from signing a lease in a business. Stand back from investing in a business. Stand back from starting a business. You've got to wait till summer. You've got to wait until we see where COVID is. A, B, you've got to see where the certainty of the election may be heading. And C, of course, the economy is, you can't. This is not a time to, you know, to be brazen and bold and think you're going to start something which you're not. If you can get a mortgage, like a 30 or 20 year mortgage right now do it.
Yeah, there you go.
Sell anything that's in the green.
Yeah.
Don't sell it all, but go to cash.
Yeah, they're literally giving houses away with the interest rates that are currently in place. So be sure and do that. Greg says StreamYard is doing a great job streaming this cast. Yes, they are. Whenever we have a solid internet, they work. It works really well. Linda says, great show. Thank you very much. Thank you, Linda, for being with us. And we really appreciate all of you guys here. So we will see you on the radio. We'll hear you on the radio or talk to you on the radio on Saturday. Read the crawl down there, Tom and Shane. We're live on radio every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. And you can listen anywhere in the world at KMMSAM.com. KMMSAM.com. All you got to do is click listen now. There's no sign up. There's no email needed. There's nothing. You don't have to leave any kind of information. You don't have to join anything. All you got to do is click listen now. It's really easy. And nothing will happen to you if you do that. You won't get emails. We won't come to your house and thank you personally. Well, we'd like to, but we can't.
That's right.
Yeah, we would love to do that. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up us for day today. Thanks, Shane, for being with me. And as always, we will hear you on the radio on Saturday.
Always looking forward to it.
Amen.